When a woman becomes a victim of domestic violence, her world quickly collapses around her. Along with the physical impact, she feels isolated and cast adrift emotionally. Faster support and reassurance can take place, the greater the chances that the victim of abuse won't lose themselves any more than they already have, and their recovery can begin. My next guest is here to discuss a volunteer program which calls on the community to help heal and empower domestic violence victims. Here are the details about the Domestic Abuse Response Team. Is the Sussex County Coordinator from Domestic Abuse and Sexual Assault Intervention Services, Jessica Minnick. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you for having me. I'll
give you the website for her organization's DASI, daisy.org, DASI.org. Of course, we have a link over at our website. So give us the overview, exactly what this program is all about, what it entails.
Well, what happens is when the police are out on a call and they suspect that domestic violence is involved, they will notify our hotline, which will activate the domestic violence response teams. The volunteer would report to the police station, meet with the victim in a confidential location there, and basically listen to, you know, what he or she has been going through, what's brought them there that day, offer support, offer some information about different services that are available in the county that they might not be aware of, discuss their options in regards to safety planning, and if they have decided to move forward with a temporary restraining order, different things like that. It's basically a one-time crisis intervention that the volunteer does with the victim and is really just that person there that is not as intimidating as the police officers and is really there just to listen and to hear what that person has to say and not offer any opinions or judgments or anything like that as to what he or she has been going through.
And this does take some of the weight off of the police officers, too, where back in the day this is something that someone within the police station would be doing.
Correct. And basically, you know, the volunteers would be meeting with the victims while the police officers are doing their paperwork, getting their reports in order, getting the judge on the phone so that the victim can testify if they are going to go forward with seeking a restraining order. And so it kind of helps the victim to have somebody to talk to help, you know, gather their thoughts and calm themselves somewhat while the police are doing what they need to do, and they don't have to worry about, you know, what is going on with the victim. They know that that person is, you know, being taken care of at that point in time.
And currently there are two teams. You work directly with the State Police Augusta Barracks as
Correct.
Well as the Newton Andover Township Police Departments.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because those are the best as far as a tactical or strategic approach where there's the most occurrences, or is that just the limitations that you're hoping that more volunteers will help this program expand to other police precincts?
Our goal is to have a response team with every municipality in the county. The state police, their initiative has come through across the state in all counties, and so we've had a lot of support from Trenton with our barracks here in Augusta to get this team up and running. And Newton and Andover were, you know, the first two municipalities to step forward and say, yes, we would like to do this. And it's been a great for those townships. The police officers that I've, you know, dealt with as the liaison officers say that it really has helped their officers to do their job so that this way, you know, they can concentrate on what they need and know that the victim is having somebody there that they can talk to and kind of sort through what they've been going through. We've reached out to other police departments in the county, and our hope is to have a few more on board and, you know, eventually to have everybody have a response team like this.
Talking with Jessica Minnick from Domestic Abuse and Sexual Assault Intervention Services about the Domestic Abuse Response Teams. You can learn more at DASI.org, Daisy, DASI.org. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. So talk about what the volunteers are required to be as far as qualifying to be a member of the team. What type of training do they go through?
The requirements are to be at least 18 years of age and to have a valid driver's license. We do, if people are interested, I would send them an application. They would need to fill it out. We do three references. The police will conduct a background check, and then we have interviews with myself, the potential volunteer, and a liaison officer from one of the departments. And then after that, we have a 40-hour training class that we offer. It takes place usually over about 6 to 8 weeks. Depending on the volunteer class and what their availability is, it typically is 2 evenings a week from about 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and then we try to do 1 or 2 Saturdays from about 9 to 2 or 3 to get everybody caught up.
For someone listening right now who was thinking, you know, that's something I'd like to be a part of, and they're imagining that domestic abuse incidents take place in like 1, 2, 3 in the morning, mm-hmm. they're wrong to think that way. Unfortunately, the truth is that domestic abuse attacks take place all hours of every day. So people shouldn't be restricting themselves to the possibility of being a part of these teams.
Correct. And, you know, we do have call outs that take place during the day and in the early evenings. And there have been some in later on, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Currently, the teams that we have operating, the volunteers are on a rolling call-out. There's not an on-call schedule, so the volunteers aren't required to set aside, 12 hours, 6 hours of their time to be within a half an hour, knowing that they could be called to go out. With the rolling call-outs, it's, they get a call, and if they can take the call, they take it. If they can't, they say, I'm sorry, I'm not available, and then, they go down the list to the next volunteer. So that this way people don't feel like they're putting aside time to do this, and then they're not being utilized, where maybe, 10 minutes after their shift ends, now we have a call, and they don't get the opportunity to respond.
So if somebody is hearing this right now and saying, you know what, I think I can do that, that's something that I think I'd be able to be an asset to, what's the first thing they should be doing?
The first thing they should do is either call or email me for an application, and if they have any other questions, they could always speak to me about that as well. And it usually takes from when the applications go out until when the class starts. It's about a 2-month process to get through all the paperwork and the applications and the interviews and the background checks. So if somebody's interested, they should, reach out to me either by phone or by email.
And Jessica's number, by the way, is 973-579-2386, 973-579-2386, extension 227. This is a program, by the way, it's in several other counties in New Jersey. And over at our website, issuesandideasradio.com, we'll post the contact information for both Jessica, for Sussex County, as well as the other counties where these teams are organized and the training is being made available. So again, it's a community has to care, and this is one of those methods and paths by which you can care about the victims of domestic abuse through the domestic abuse response teams. And talking with us this morning about that is the Sussex County Coordinator from Domestic Abuse and Sexual Assault Intervention Services, Jessica Minnick. Jessica, thanks so much for the work that you do, the lives that you help rebuild. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you so much, Chris, and thank you for the opportunity to spread the word about our organization and the response teams.